Psalms chapter number 39, we're going to read all 13 verses. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm going to ask you to please pay attention in reference to the Word of God. Psalms chapter 39 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Some of you already said, oh man. And some of you said, oh me. But I want you to notice in verse number 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. Now I know some of y'all look around, I'll make sure everybody's on Psalms chapter number 39 this morning. Verse number 3, the Bible says, my heart was within me while I was musing with fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength, before I go hence and be no more. I want to say to you this morning, if you're looking in this Psalms, David wrote this psalm. And David's thought during this time was he was concerned of his thoughts, he was concerned of his actions, and David was concerned of what reputation he was leaving behind. You'll see that David also concerns himself in Psalms chapter number 39 with the thought of what life is and what man's life is and what death is. And you'll see that David realized the vanity of this life. David had the understanding as he wrote Psalms chapter number 39 that this life is short and this life passes quickly. And David was sure to pin down these thoughts that it was vanity even in our best state. But David realized in Psalms chapter 39 and verse number 7, we're going to preach just a minute. David realized that even before and after, you need God in the middle of your prayer. Now I want to say this to you this morning. Our focus is in the middle of Psalms chapter 39 and verse number 7. But there's some difference and some thought that I want you to get a hold of as we go through this of why verse number 7 is directly in the middle of Psalms 39. Amen. I begin to study and begin to look at Psalms chapter number 39, and I begin to notice in verse number 1. Now, I'm really, Brother Robert, interested in verse number 2. We always have something to say, and we always have some thought or some opinion as a man. But David, in verse number 1, says, I said. He said, nobody else said this. He said, but I said, Brother Junior. He didn't say the preacher said or the Sunday school teacher said or the deacon said, but he said, I said. He said, I will take heed of my ways. He said, I will acknowledge what my life is. And he said, I will acknowledge it where I'm at in life. And I'm not going to let somebody else tell me where I'm at. I'm not going to let somebody else tell me what I need to do and what I don't need to do. He said, I'm acknowledging it and I'm responsible. Can I say to you this morning and moving forward, it would do our country some good if people realize they're responsible for their actions, that they are responsible for themselves. It's not, Brother Junior, it's not the preacher's fault. It's not Brother Robert's fault that something went wrong. It's not somebody else's fault, but to realize in their life that they are held accountable for their actions. David said, I said, I will take heed to my ways. He said, I will acknowledge my ways. He said, I will accept responsibility. But he noticed what he said, that I sin not. not with my tongue. Boy, I'm going to say this, and we're going to plow just right here for a little bit. The book of James teaches us that our tongue is a little member. And I'll say this to you this morning. Boy, our tongue can get us in trouble. How many of you ever heard the old saying, you stuck your foot in your mouth? Amen. I can do better than that. I can stick my foot, my whole leg, and my chest in my mouth. Boy, if you stuck your foot in your mouth, you just said something you shouldn't have said. But Brother Ricky, I can stick the whole leg in there, and boy, I can swallow it and grow it right back. Boy, our tongue will get us in trouble. Our tongue will bring us to a place that many of us have thought, boy, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Please don't, because you won't have none left. Preacher, I'm going to bless them out. I've had all of it I can take. Please don't. It's better to hold your silence and to keep your frame of mind and to keep your structure and to have the hand of God upon you. Notice what he said. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Boy, I know we want to lash out. Boy, I know when somebody does us wrong, we want to give them a piece of our mind and we want to just let them have it. And the psalmist is realizing that the tongue is a fire. Remember, he wrote in Psalms 34 and verse number 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. In Proverbs 15 and verse number 4, the Bible says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. In Psalms 18 and verse number 21, it said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Can I say this to you this morning? Your tongue can tear down everything that you've built up. And your tongue can destroy your witness in a matter of a few words simply because you got out of the will of God. Notice this as we look in Psalms chapter number 39 and verse number 2. The Bible says he was dumb with silence. He held his peace. He did not speak from good. And as the Bible says, that his sorrow was stirred. Might I say to you this morning, we as men are taught that you bottle everything up on the inside and you never share your feelings and you never talk about it. Now, you never share any of that. David said, I held my peace. He said, I kept everything in. He said, I didn't share it. He said, whether it was good, whether it was bad, he said, I didn't have anything to say. He said, but on the inside, my sorrow was stirred. He said, in the midst of my core, my being, he said, I was distraught. He said, Brother Junior, everything within me, I was tore out of frame. He said, but I held my peace and I never said a word. Can I say to you this morning, there's several different types of silence. There's seven different types, but I'm not going to go through those this morning. Notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, my heart was hot within me. Boy, I don't know about you, sometimes I get hot. How many of you have ever got something on your mind, and the more you study on it, the madder you get? Amen. Some of y'all are so holy this morning, y'all don't get mad. Y'all say, preacher, all the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. I practice that. Sure, let me ask your husband. Let me ask your wife. Let me ask somebody as close to you that knows you. But I'll say this to you this morning. The more I get something in my mind, and boy, it seems like I meditate on it, and boy, the fire began to roll up in David. And David was getting to a place that he had to expel it. He was getting to a place that he had to explain it. And David comes in verse number 4, and he says something that man does not want to know. He says, Lord, make me to know my end. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you really want to know how you're going to die? How many of you this morning want to know how it's going to go? Boy, I've heard it said, preacher, I don't want to die by the way of the fire or by the way of drowning. But preacher, I'd rather die curled up in my bed asleep and I just passed from this life into the next. Can I say this to you this morning? As we're all appointed once for man to die. And I'll say this, that time has been appointed. You and I, listen to me now, you and I can speed that time up. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I believe this morning there are some young people have left this life because of the sin that was in their life and because of what they were caught up in, and they brought their death sooner than later. I truly believe that this morning. But I want you to notice, David said, Lord, Let me know my end. Let me know how it's going to be. Let me know how it's going to happen. I want you to notice this. David wasn't asking how long he's got to live. David wasn't asking for the date of when he's going to die. David was not asking, Brother David, for when it was going to come about. But David just said, you know what? I want to know how I'm going to die, and I kind of want to know what's on the other side. Might I say to you this morning, every single one of you are placed in a point of place to die, and might I say to you, every single one of us are curious about what's on the other side. But I promise you this morning, when the Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, is when you close your eyes on this side of glory, I believe you'll see God in His perfection and God in His holiness and God in His pureness. I truly believe this morning that David was not concerned simply about what was going to happen to the flesh, but David was concerned about what was on the hereafter. David was concerned about what was on eternity. David was concerned about what happens when he closes his eyes here. Will he be in hell or will he be in heaven? Can I say this to you this morning? I'm thankful that God showed him that. You say, preacher, how did God show him that? The Bible says that David says this, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing, is as nothing before thee." Can I say to you, our 60 and 70 years is nothing compared to a God of eternity? A God that always has been, always will be. Might I say to you this morning, one of the greatest questions, philosophical questions that I get asked, and some of you have probably asked this. Some of you have thought this. Preacher, if God created the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, Mars, Jupiter, and all so on out, and man created every beast from the field, and man created man from the dust of the earth, and God has created all that, and God's seen that was good, who created God? I've been asked that, Brother Bill. I could not tell you how many times. The Bible teaches us that the knowledge of God, His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. When God always has been, always will be, and always will exist, God didn't need anybody to create Him, for He is the supreme authority. Our thoughts are so confined to the box theology that we cannot understand in the supreme and final authority of God, that God was not created. We were created to worship God, just as the angels were created. And might I say to you this morning, was God existed before this earth ever existed? Can I say this to you? God has always been and always will be. But I want you to notice this morning. The Bible says in verse number 5, and I highlighted this part, "Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity." In verse number 11, you'll notice this as well, that David pins this thought down. "Surely every man is vanity." He says every man is just here for a little bit. Every man really doesn't mean anything. Every man, though he struggles, it really doesn't mean anything. But right in the midst of Psalm chapter 39 and verse number 7, David has a realization and David has an understanding of what is important, regardless of what's first in life, what's last in life, how we start life, or how we finish life. David had an understanding in verse number 7, and isn't it amazing that numbers really mean something? When you think of 7, as 7 is completion. Might I say to you this morning, I'm glad that David understood that he was waiting for the Lord. That David understood that his hope was in the Lord. Can I say this to you this morning? Your life may be empty and your life may be stretched out and your life may be vanity and it does not seem like anybody cares, but I'm glad there's a God of heaven that loved you and I, sent His darling Son Jesus to die on old wretched Christ, that He could complete us, that our hope would be in Him alone, and that our life would be in Him alone, and that our future would be in Him alone. It did not matter how David was going to die. What mattered was David wanted to see God.
Amen.
Can I say this to you this morning? The Bible teaches us in Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Isaiah 40 and verse number 31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I say this to you this morning? I'm getting ready to close in just a moment. David asked in verse number 4 to know his end. In verse number 4, David realized how frail he was. In verse number 5, David realized how wicked man was. In verse number 7, David realized his only hope was in Jesus. Can I say this to you this morning? I'm done. Our only hope for a church, our only hope for a family, our only hope for one another, our only hope for this country is in the Lord.
Amen.
Can I say to you, the more man tries to fix, the more of a mess he makes. I'm not big into politics. Donald Trump undoubtedly thought that he could fix America. The Democrats think they can fix America. The liberals think they can fix America. The Republicans think they can fix America. The only hope for our country, and the only hope for our people, and the only hope for my child is not found in the Republican Party. It is not found in the Democratic Party. It is not found in the Libertarian Party. It is not found in the non-affiliated party. And might I say to you this morning, what America needs is not a lady president, not a black president, not a Chinese president, not a white president, not a man that identifies as a woman or a woman identifies as a man. America needs to put Jesus back in the rightful place and put Him back as throne and put Him back as God of America and put Him back as God of our churches and God of our families. That is our only hope.
Amen.
Heads are bowed and eyes closed as Miss Jody comes this morning.